really glad to be able to get Quinn Laird. I should say Chief Quinn Laird, I think.
Yes, sir.
First off, Quinn, it's good to meet you.
Yes.
Chief Quinn Laird. How long have you been chief now? You're new to the job.
I was appointed June the 17th of this year.
Still feels new, right?
Very new.
But even though you were with the Heron Police Department for a number of years before the chief position.
Yes. I've with the department 18 years and served 11 of those years as a sergeant.
Where did you, you started as a police chief in Ziegler?
No.
Excuse me, a police officer in Ziegler?
No.
Oh.
No. I actually worked in Energy for a little while.
Energy.
And served on the county auxiliary for a while prior to working at Heron.
But you coached in Ziegler, didn't you?
I did.
You coached basketball and baseball?
I did. I coached basketball.
I mean, you are an indigenous Southern Illinoisan.
Yes. Yes. I grew up in Franklin County, and then when I got the job in Heron, I moved, and that was 1997, moved to Heron, which was a residency requirement for the job.
You know, one of the toughest things, I think, is being one of the boys and then being the responsible one for one of the boys. You know, that's sometimes that transition, I think, going to sergeant and then to police chief probably helps a little. But it always, you know, from being one of the guys to the head guy, or guys and girls, yeah, it's a transition that you really got to be careful, I think, a little bit, don't you?
Well, you know, it has its disadvantages, but I believe it has an advantage, too, because I have become police chief and I've hit the ground running because I know the personnel, I know the operations of the department, and I knew what was going on. So the day that I was made chief, I was able to start implementing things that I wanted to implement right away.
Yeah. Did you find that was easy to do? Because I know sometimes when you move into the head position, you think, well, this will be easy, and you realize the day-to-day minutia can keep you pretty busy.
Well, and I'm going to use a Mayor Frattiniism here. He said, told me the other day, he said, you know, it's kind of like eating an elephant, just one bite at a time. And that's kind of the way it is right now. It's a big ship, and they don't turn quickly. But I'm working on a lot of things, and I believe I've got the ship headed in the right direction.
You know, one of the things that the police department is doing under your leadership now that I really think is a great thing, and that is they're on foot, looking on business doors, looking to make sure everything's okay, the alarms, and then leaving a note for the business owner, say, hey, we were here at 7:43 and everything was okay. Hope you have a great day. I really think this is a great program.
Yes, and it's not something that the police officers haven't been doing all along. It was just my idea to leave that calling card. It's something we used to do years ago. And I just wanted to get back to that, leave that calling card at that business and let them know that, hey, we are there, we're out there, and we're checking your businesses.
Because the way I see it, from the outside looking in, if you want to, I'll let you shape the details here, but the outside looking in is you've got two issues. Heron has a crime problem, okay? And then the perception of crime. Now, I mean, every town has a crime problem. Sorry, it's just
yes.
The nature. But the perception, and I think there's two columns here in Heron, I think, from the outside looking in. I was wondering what your thoughts.
Well, you know, social media tends to, it's easy to sit behind a computer screen and say a lot of things. And a lot of times there's misinformation out there. And I would agree with you that there is a perception of that there's more crime than there actually really is.
Social media acts as an echo chamber.
Yes. And, you know, but regardless of whether it's real or perceived, it's my job to combat both of those.
Yes.
As the chief of police.
See, because we talk about this, you know, that sometimes I was talking to somebody the other day about honest and dishonest and whether you're a nice guy or not a nice guy. And I said, I know you're a nice guy. But the perception sometimes is that you're not a nice person. Well, why wouldn't? Because I'm a nice guy. I didn't know I said something. No, it's perception. Perception is reality. And see, and I hate that statement, but I recognize the significance of what it tries to say. And perception can be a very difficult thing to shape and change, and it takes a lot of time. That's why I think leaving the notes. We were doing it all along, but we never left a note. Out of sight, out of mind. I mean, do we have to self-market and perceive? I mean, there's a reason why their marketing people are so popular with business hires these days. And that kind of leaves you that you're a cheerleader for the police department in some respect.
Well, that's true. And one of the things that, you know, as I was going through the interview with the search committee and the many conversations that I had with Mayor Frattini prior to the appointment, was that he wanted a chief that was going to engage the community, that was going to be an advocate for the professional police officers that we have at the Heron Police Department.
So it's a hard, to me, I've been doing cover news for a long time, and it seems like now it's harder to be a cop than ever before. The race thing nationwide, this perception that police, it's us against them. And in small town Southern Illinois, where the police force is so intimate with the community, I wonder, is it truly? I mean, you've been doing this for 20 years. Have you detected a shift in the way police are perceived, or is it really a national story? And when it gets right down to the main street, it's not really a problem.
Oh, I think it's a very tough environment right now for a police officer to do their job, nationally and locally. But, you know, if you look at the city of Heron, what we have now, we have a mayor that supports us. We have a city council that supports us. The guys know that they have a chief that supports them. And we have a new state's attorney in place. So we've got all the elements in place right now for our police officers to go out and do their job and know that they're supported. And that's what it takes.
You know, it's interesting when you talked about support, because you see support come in different ways. One, you'd been down a couple of police cars that would have been handy to have in Heron, and the word is you've got some support that's going to provide you with a new squad car.
Well, absolutely. And just a little bit about how that came about. Shortly after I was named chief, I called Jason McInnes, who is the pastor of Southern Illinois Worship Center, and asked him to come out and do a ride-along with me. That's one of the largest churches in the area, and I thought it would be good for him to come out and see what our police officers actually did. And I figured he'd probably go home about 11 o'clock. I picked him up at 9, but he was with me until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And he got to see the poor condition of some of our equipment, the lack of some of our equipment, and he called me a couple days later and wanted to know how much a new squad car would cost. And I gave him those numbers, and he came by the police department one day and said, "Hey, I'd like to buy you guys a new squad car. Our board has voted, and we think that this would be a good use of our money." So
it's not every day you get a gift like that.
It is not.
Especially when somebody goes, "Yeah, I've got to do something. I got to help. We can help." And coming through the funnel like that. It's one thing people don't know. Well, you just go down to the car dealer and buy a car. No, sorry. We got to wire that. I got involved with that with Carterville PD a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. Well, we got a car. Now we got to put the equipment in it. And that's a whole new ball game. We're not talking about the stickers on the side that say Heron Police Department either. We're talking about the hardware, the lights, the radios.
Yes, that all of that stuff is expensive. You look at the purchase of a new squad car is in the $24,000 to $25,000 range on a state bid. And then by the time you stripe it, put radios, equipment, lights.
Screen in the back to isolate the.
Yeah, all the things going, you're looking at another $5,000.
You know, one of the things that I find interesting, and over the years of knowing police officers, as a tendency, I tend to know the guy behind the wheels driving around and not the chief so often. And I often heard this, "Well, the chief told us to do this. The chief had us, wants us doing this now." You know, I mean, it wasn't long. I was doing a ride along with Carbondale PD I was with him on their ride along, and the chief says he wants us to focus on this speeding coming into Carbondale from the west because it's a problem near the medical facilities. So at some point you had a conversation like that with your officers, didn't you? "Here's what I want you to do." When you pull somebody, you had that talk, didn't you?
I did.
And what did you say?
You know, activity is up significantly.
Your activity, the police officers.
Yes, police officers' activity. And what I told them is that I don't want them basing law enforcement decisions on fine revenue. That I want the tickets that they write to serve a purpose, that being criminal arrests. I want them going out and looking for traffic stops that result in criminal arrests and using those traffic stops to conduct searches. to find drugs, to find guns, to find warrants.
But Grandma Helen, chances are, isn't carrying an eight ball in the glove box.
Exactly. And I would like for our police officers to have a positive contact person with Grandma Helen and give her a warning and send her on her way. And I think that that's what you have to do. You have to have positive interactions with the good people in town. And you have to go after the element that you want to enhance. That you want to
build a relationship.
Not really, but that you want to go after.
Right. One of my favorite police officers, Carbondale PD, Kent Burns. I don't know if you know him, Officer Burns. Knew him for many years. I knew him because he pulled me over and arrested me, and we turned out to become friends. As time went by, you know, and at one point he became a motorcycle police officer. And after all the decades of his experience in law enforcement, he says, there's nothing that has helped my relationship with the general public more than being back on a motorcycle instead of in a car, which reminds me of your foot patrols and talking to the businesses, because there's an opportunity there. Mm-hmm. And he'd often say, it's kind of the guy who would be in a car at the, imagine yourself being at the intersection in Carbondale in front of the mall, and the police officer is in the driver's lane, and you know, the guy next to the car, he doesn't want to look at you because you're a police officer. But if you're on the motorcycle, he's rolling down the window going, how you doing? What kind of bike you riding? That opportunities present themselves to reach out and to talk to the general public and tear some of this apprehension, because you don't want to look because maybe he's going to write me a ticket. That little dividing wall, no matter how small or great it is one of the problems the police officers face on a day-to-day basis. Being perceived as a human outside the uniform, as one member of the community, as opposed to an adversarial view, whether it's a stop sign or a speeding ticket.
Oh, absolutely. Our police officers are great people, you know, in and out of uniform. And that's one of the things that I have encouraged them to do, you know, especially on day shift when people are out and about. You know, it's a different night shift and day shift are a different animal.
A little different, aren't they?
But whenever... people are out and about on day shift and even in the evening shift. I've encouraged them to get out and talk to people. And they are doing that and engaging folks that they normally wouldn't have conversations with. So, yes, absolutely. I have requested that they do that, and they are doing so. And one example of that is, you know, during the ball games that are going on out at the park.
Right.
We've got officers that are occasionally getting out there and just, you know, watching a ball game, and you'd be surprised how many contacts they have with the public and that they have with the kids and are able to interact and just talk with people that they wouldn't normally talk with.
That kids thing, I think, is important.
Absolutely.
You know, time and time again, I find out that these habits that we carry into our adulthood are formed how we perceive maybe whether it's a lawyer, a judge, a police officer, maybe a Department of Corrections officer, even the pastor, the priest, whatever the case, that our perception of how we view those people is actually formed at a relatively young age, sometimes with the help of our parents, too.
Yes. I think it's very important that our children have contact with police officers and let them see that they're real people.
When I was growing up, when you were, you know, little Tommy, if you're in trouble, you look for a police officer and you go to him, he'll help you. That's literally the way I was raised, and I don't know that I hear that anymore.
No, you don't hear that anymore. A lot of times you hear, you know, a parent in Walmart or something, and they'll say, now you better be careful or he's going to arrest you.
He'll come and get you. Yeah, he'll put you in handcuffs. Yeah. He'll put you in the back of the car.
No, we're not.
He'll take you to jail. You know what? I've heard that. Literally heard that. You better look out. He's come. And you know what it is? It's done playfully. But children have such thin skins and their perception. They're inside. They're going, oh, my. I haven't done anything, you know. And that little bit of that one perception could last for a long time.
Yes. You know, we have two school resource officers that are in the school, and I can remember going out to the Heron Elementary School here 6 months ago and meeting with that SRO, and I just remember the kids, they loved him. The kids, they had a relationship with him, and they would come up, they'd I couldn't talk to him for the kids coming up wanting to give him a hug.
Yeah.
And I think that's just important that the kids are able to see that the police officers are not this far off, distant thing that may hurt them. They need to know that police officers are real people, just like everybody else, and that they're there to protect them and help them.
Yeah. It's weird because, you know, I meet police officers who seem to be better at that type of thing. There's some that are really built to just, they're somehow, I don't know what it is, I don't have it, but I envy the fact that they do and I see it. You know, one of them, Sheriff Deputy Volunteer Kinley, mm-hmm. He's one of those guys. You meet him, kids, hi, how you doing, officer? And I think kids are so perceptive, you know. I scare the heck out of kids. You know, I mean, so I understand and I envy people that can develop a relationship with a 5-year-old with a couple of glances and a handshake and a wave and a smile.
Sure.
But there are those people out there, and they're good to have on the force because that talent translates.
Yes.
Cordiality, that we're part of the community. So how do you know, as police chief, maybe it's too early to ask you this question, how do you know when you're succeeding? What is a good day? How do you know you've succeeded at something? Or how do you know the big picture is succeeding? How do you judge yourself?
Well, you know, obviously there's the budget, and I'm constantly looking at that and being asked to do more with less.
Well, that's pretty unfair and hard on yourself, isn't it, Chief?
Well,
my first thought is, how are you going to blame yourself for the budget? But well, I do understand it, on the other hand.
I look at that as sort of a benchmark, though, as to where I'm at.
Yeah,
with the department, you know, because those numbers, I have to have those in line, and you know, right now I think we're better utilizing some of the resources that we currently have within the budget limits, and I think that's a success so far.
I understand that. I got through. We did what we needed to do on the budget that we wish was more. Now that I understand, being able to close the books and clean, say, look, we did it. We didn't bust OT. We're going to have enough. We're not going to have to gut next month to pay for this month. Mm-hmm. I can see where that would be a measuring stick. But the problem is, it's a measuring stick that not many people see, isn't it?
Most people don't see that. What they see is sometimes the lack of manpower on the street, or, hey, why didn't you do this, or why didn't you do that? Well, I would love to do this or do that, but I don't necessarily have the resources all the time to do that. So, you know, I think right now, with the use of some of the part-timers that we've gotten in place through an agreement with the union and a agreement through the collective bargaining unit, those part-timers are on the road, and that is increasing the manpower that people are seeing on the street. And I think that is really going to be a positive thing going forward.
More feet on the street.
Yes.
That's something that people have been asking for a long time. More tires, more feet on the street.
Yes.
But, and this comes back to how you and I started this conversation with perception, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
And see, there's two people that are perceiving this as well. The everyday Jane and Mary down the street, and the guy or the woman who's looking to commit a crime. And they're looking over their shoulder and they're seeing, can we get away with this? Well, man, I haven't seen any cops around of you. Let's do it. You know, there is a thing where you're being watched. And sometimes it's not by the people you want watching you.
Well, that's true. You can't stop crime, but you can displace it. And the more police officers that people see out and about, the hotter the heat is, the more that they would rather go somewhere else
to do their duty, but you've got to have a partner for that to work, and that's the state's attorney.
That's true.
And you know, they got you. Sometimes you just got to drop the hammer and say, look, boys, you want to cook meth in Williamson County? You want to spend 25 years in prison? That's the answer to your question, because we'll drop the hammer on you if you're here doing that. And there's other cases. There's something I want to ask you about on the business end before I let you go today.
Sure.
And that is this, you are looking for details now in the death of Dana Kine. Now, this is a gentleman who was found in the middle of the street. What can you tell us about this, and what can you tell us about the reward?
Well, obviously, I can't talk too much about the details of the investigation.
Well, he's found in the middle of the street with a head injury, I think 3 in the morning, something like that?
It was a approximately 11 o'clock at night.
Okay.
But yes, he was found with a head injury. Unsure of the circumstances surrounding that. And we are conducting an investigation at this time, and it is being investigated as a homicide.
All right. What date did this occur?
It was July the 10th.
And so you've got $1,000 for Crime Stoppers. And after decades of work with the Crime Stoppers, it's another great program. People know things, but they're afraid. Your name's kept secret, and there's an operational way this is done. This I'm familiar with, and I'm going to go into details because I'm running out of time. But if you do have information, $1,000, and you'll be kept anonymous. Matter of fact, the police won't even know who you are. It's a really great program, and wish we saw more use of it sometimes when I see some of these things, but it's nice to see that you're going out and using Crime Stoppers to apprehend somebody. I quite frankly, I think this is another one of these first steps that I've seen from your office, which I admire.
Well, you know, we're asking for the public's help at this point. We have an investigation ongoing, and but if there's somebody out there that knows something or saw something, I would love for them to come forward and help us out.
All right. Mr. Kind ultimately died from his injuries?
He did.
So all the more reason. He's not going to be able to help with the investigation, so we need the community's help too. Law enforcement in very much is a two-way street.
Yes.
I just thought it was interesting. You know, one observation on the outside in, so many people in my demographic and younger have a tendency to go, well, it's not really about speeding. It's about money. You're saying, look, and you coming in here and saying today, point blank, look me right in the eye and say, it's not about money. It's not about a revenue enhancement, it's about enforcing the law. And I think that's a principle that sometimes gets lost. And it's nice to see you re-embracing that, by the way, from my personal standpoint. So, Quinn, hey, it's been a pleasure meeting you, man.
Yes, sir.
And good luck.
Thank you.
844.